In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. These days were very hard on Hur ibn Yazid, and everything was getting clear, and destiny was choosing its decisions. He was the leader of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's army. Until Umar ibn Sa'd's arrival, he prevented Imam Hussein from moving on. It has been a few days since Hur's first involvement with Imam Hussein. He and his companions began to realize Imam Hussein is just and his behavior within his actions and his deeds. Earlier that day, when Imam Hussein intended to leave Zabada's house, he ordered his companions to bring lots of water. His companions did so with amazement and surprise. Until one of Imam Hussein's companions thought he saw a date tree. He yelled, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," and others continued with him. But what happened to be date trees were just horsebacks and some soldiers of Hur ibn Yazid's army. Imam Hussein and his companions went to the nearest mountain foot in case of battle. Ubaydullah's army and the leadership of Hur deployed in front of Imam Hussein, but Imam Hussein didn't command for battle or a struggle. He just stood in a military array. Hur's army and their horses were very tired and thirsty, which was an advantage for Imam Hussein. But he ordered his companions to bring water and relieve their pain. Ali ibn Muharibi was one of Hur's soldiers. He said, "I was left behind, and when I reached the army, I saw everyone was given bowls of water. Imam Hussein saw me and greeted me and pointed to the camel, which had a big leathered bottle on its back, full of water. I was too weak to raise the bottle, so Imam Hussein came and helped me." Both groups stayed in the desert until it was time for prayers. The call for prayers was recited. Imam Hussein stood up and looked to his enemies and said, "O the people of Kufa, I came here with your invitation. And if you regret it, I will return." The Kufians didn't say anything. Imam Hussein looked at Hur and said, "Will you read your prayers with your army?" Hur replied, "We will follow you as you say your prayers." And that's what they did. They prayed under the leadership of Imam Hussein. After the prayers, Imam Hussein stood up and said, "O those who are looking for God, search for justice, for you will make him happy. I am the heir to the Prophet, and we deserve to be the leaders of all Muslims. Bani Umayyah have claimed governor of all Muslims while they do not deserve it. They don't know anything about justice. O the people of Kufa, if you are unhappy with our presence, we will return." Hur was forced to say something, so he said, I don't know anything about the invitations and the letters. Imam Hussein ordered his companions to bring the letters of Kufa and put them in front of Hur. Hur then said, I didn't write you anything. I didn't send anything to you. I have a mission, and that's to take you to the master of Kufa. Imam Hussein said, it is easier said than done, for I will never go there with you. When Imam Hussein and his companions intended to leave, Hur blocked their way. Imam Hussein said, may your mother lament over your grave. What do you want with me? Hur said, if someone else of the Arabs told me the same, I would have cursed them. But when I want to talk about your mother, I have to say it in my greatest of respects. Imam Hussein said, then what do you want with me? Hur said, I have to take you to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Imam Hussein said, I will not come with you. Hur said, then I will stay with you. They argued about this matter for about 3 times until Hur finally said, I am not permitted to fight with you. So I have a mission. And that is to stick with you until I take you to Kufa. Since you won't come, don't take the path to Kufa and don't take the path to Medina. So we will reach agreement and justice. I will send a report to Ubaydullah and hopefully God will take care of it. And I will be able to keep my religion. When both groups were separating, Hur said, if you continue and get involved, they will kill you. Imam Hussein said, are you trying to threaten me? Do you think after my death, everything will be fine? Your words remind me of a time when someone wanted to save the Prophet in a battle. His cousin told him, don't do this, for you will get killed. He answered, death is not a contempt for those brave ones who try to save Islam and justice. If I die, I won't be regretful. And if I live, I won't be in contempt. Both groups separated, while Hur went back to his army very thoughtfully. Imam Hussein made some remarks, and some were attracted, but those who were lost in their ignorance didn't gain anything out of this.
God's pleasure, he أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We've been discussing the causes that led to the event of Karbala. We explained that three main reasons caused corruption, which is what Imam al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi explains as the reason why he made his move. He revolted and he stuck to it until him and his relatives and his companions were brutally butchered on the plains of Karbala. But the question that remains is that what happened that Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi was to do this? What happened? Why was it that Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi did not take this task? Why was it that Imam al-Hassan salamullah alayhi did not do so? Wasn't it that the corruption that existed at the time of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi existed and started at the time of Imam Hassan? It is so, and it is such that the main cause of all of this was that they took away the authority that Amir al-Mu'mineen had on society. The Khilafah was taken away from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So why is it that he didn't do this? If he had taken that authority, none of this would have happened. Why was it that Imam al-Hassan salamullah alayhi, who lived at a time where all this corruption was going on, much of this deviation had already started. Why was it that Imam al-Hassan did not do this? We could think of many different causes. I will explain two. First of all, the effect wouldn't have been there. Had Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, not accepted the bay'ah of those who were asking for it, had he not accepted it after the passing away of his wife, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, as we know, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, after the passing away of the Prophet, he heard the news that others have gathered in a different area and they are deciding for themselves who they want to rule over them as an Islamic ruler. Amir al-Mu'mineen had to bury the Prophet, and after that, when they came to him to accept the allegiance and to pledge his allegiance to who they had accepted, the Imam rejected. We know this. We know that the Imam went to the doors of the Ansar. We know that the daughter of the Prophet, Fatima salamullah alayha, went to the doors of the companions of the Prophet and reminded them, was it not you who pledged allegiance to Ali on the day of Ghadir? Do you not know that he is the rightful ruler and successor to the Holy Prophet? They did that. They did not accept at the beginning. But what was it that Amir al-Mu'mineen ended up accepting it after Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayhi was beaten and she passed away? The effect that the movement that Imam al-Hussein had, because of the situation of that time, wouldn't have been there if Amir al-Mu'mineen would have done that. First of all, we know that if Amir al-Mu'mineen would have started a battle with those who had taken his right to govern, it wouldn't have ended like the one in Karbala. If he would have risen his sword, he would have been able to get the main characters that caused that deviation. And he would have a following on his hand. But as he explains in Nahjul Balagha, he realized and he saw the danger of that, the division of the Muslim society on this issue of ruling would have been drastic. Because many of the people who had accepted Islam during the last couple years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, after hearing that he had passed away, were turning back to their previous religion and rejecting Islam. Something needed to be done to that. If Amirul Mu'mineen would have started that war with those people, Islam would not have lived to this time. Although he would have won the battle and wouldn't have ended like that of Karbala. So the question is, what happened to Imam al-Hasan, salamullah alayhi? At his time, this corruption was there. And maybe the effect would have been there. Why was it that at his time, it wouldn't have had that same effect? Let's look at the history of the time, the 6 months that Imam al-Hasan salamullah alayhi governed over the Muslim community. He wanted to continue his battle, his father's battle with Muawiyah. He gathered an army outside of Kufa and wanted to send them to fight off Muawiyah. But Muawiyah, he paid off some of the heads of tribes and threatened others and was able to destroy his army without even having a battle. If at that point Imam al-Hasan would have gone to the point where he would have said that I will not accept this allegiance, I will not accept a truce with Muawiyah, the result wouldn't have been the same. Because at that time, even the people in Kufa had pretty much turned against him. At that time, his companions, very close companions, came to a state where they would call him, Ya Muzil al-Awliya. You put the awliya down. You put them down in society. You made us look bad in society. These are people that believed in the Imam. These were the supporters of the Imam. Imagine if the Imam would have gone over and fought the battle, and him and his entire family would have been brutally slaughtered. The result of that would have been the destruction of that family, and Muawiyah would have made that legitimate. Muawiyah was considered one of the companions of the Prophet. This is where I want to get into the second difference. Why Imam al-Husayn had to take on this task, and Imam Hassan salamullah alayhi, and Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, were not to do this. Muawiyah would have justified this very well. And because he was the companion of the Prophet, they would have accepted it from him. So he was not picked for this task. His truce actually helped the movement of Imam al-Hasan salamu.
Just
If Imam Hassan, salamullah alayhi, would have taken on this task and would have gone as far in not accepting that truce and the pledge of allegiance to Muawiyah, they would have slaughtered him and they would have justified that. And because Muawiyah was the companion of the Prophet and he made himself look like an individual who is trying to spread the message of Islam, who's trying to promote it, who's trying to practice every bit of it in his life, he would have been able to justify it very well, and people wouldn't have even thought any of that would have been wrong. This is where I want to get to the second difference that I wanted to mention. The rulers that these imams lived under were different. The corruption that we said was taking place was under people that, in the eyes of the public, were practicing religion. They say that some of these would pray and pray and pray many, many mustahab prayers during the day and the night. They were known as worshippers. They were known as people that were very pious. They were known as people that would not allow the money and the budget of Baytul Mal, of the Muslims, to be spent in the wrong way. They would practice Islam, and only on some parts. They would alter the religion, but they wouldn't say that I'm not accepting it. They would say this is the religion. The difference that I'm putting between Quraysh and the other Arabs is part of the religion. That's how they portrayed it. With that attitude, if one would go against them and get killed, then that would have been justified as Islamic. Not as easy as some of the other decisions that they made, but it wouldn't be a very difficult task either. Yazid, however, and this shows itself that why the Imam did not rise at the time of Muawiyah. We know that Imam Hassan salamullah alayhi passed away. After him, Imam Hussein was the Imam for 10 years before he made that move. The reason for that is the same reason, that he was living under Muawiyah. Muawiyah would have done the same. When Yazid came to power, that's when this movement of the Imam made sense. Because Yazid was known to be an individual who drinks publicly. He does not care about what Islam says. Everyone knew of the fornication and adultery that he committed. Everyone knew that his best friend was a monkey, and he would play with dogs. Everyone knew that he was not a practicing Muslim. At this point, it was that the movement of Imam Hussein made sense. He moved, he revolted, and that revolution of his, although they all got brutally butchered on those plains, because of that, it remains until today, and it saved the religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us annually remember this event and to keep this event alive. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us blessings for that and bless our fathers and mothers for teaching us this path and for teaching us how to commemorate for Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.